This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 377. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Diana's work is never done. Who is Paul McGann? And it's bedtime for Miracle Man. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 8th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, it was a small week for comics. I'm glad the new Vertical titles are going to start coming in because the poll is getting smaller and smaller, especially as we keep dropping some DC stuff.
I was going to say, is it getting smaller because it was a small comics week overall or just because we've been pruning our
I think there's poll. Been a lot of pruning. Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 16 by Ketteridge, Bedauer, and Hampton. So this is the penultimate issue of the Digital First series, yet another title DC lost interest in.
Well, you know, maybe it wasn't DC losing interest. Maybe it was the people who weren't buying it.
Yeah, well, it's being replaced with a Digital First miniseries called The Legend of Wonder Woman, yet another origin tale.
Oh, yeah, they like those.
They do. But let's talk about this issue that has two stories in it. And then the first one, Diana, not in costume, is leaving a charity event in Gotham. She finds Echidna, which is the Greek mother of monsters, attacking a guy in an alley. And she's convinced the guy kidnapped her children, which leads them to a church and a meetup with Batgirl. Now, this appears to be the classic, not hipster Batgirl.
Yes, exactly.
She's following another kidnapped child case where Harley Quinn has kidnapped a kid. Mr. Pig is also involved. The kid and Echidna's children are saved. Batman drops by at the end. It's a rather complicated story with, I thought, too many characters.
Yeah, it seemed to be overall not really explaining why the kids were getting kidnapped very well. And
in the second story, Diana and Clark are wrapping up a JLA case, but she's got another job and invites him to join her. She's a UN ambassador handling a disputed area and stops a rogue general from taking it over. She also officiates a gay wedding. Message coming in, Zah.
Yes, I liked it how she says, well, you have to remember I come from a society of all women. There, it's not gay marriage, it's just marriage.
Finally, she destroys a dam that's stopping water from getting to another war-torn region. We then see a heart-to-heart talk with Clark wondering if he's doing enough because he does split his time being Clark Kent while Diana is always Diana. And she tells him someone has to tell the stories to inspire others. The artwork is unique here. They tried for photorealism and they didn't always succeed. Mm-hmm. Diana seems to have too much eyeshadow.
I just don't understand what Diana's doing putting on eyeshadow anyways.
It was a little weird, the artwork. It's still a shame to see this title going away. Doctor Who the Eighth Doctor number 1 from Titan. So we've already got titles for Doctors 9 through 12, and now Titan adds the Forgotten Doctor from the failed movie, who is played by Paul McGann.
Yeah, now this is like a whole company of Doctor comics now.
Yeah.
It's like, really? We need that many?
His continuity is fairly open, so it does make sense, but there have been a number of audiobooks about him. And in fact, in the introductory page, which is the inside front cover, they say, oh, he's been with this person and this person and this companion. And it's like, those are clearly from the audiobooks because we meet new companion Josephine Day, a Welsh artist with cyan hair. The story is about art and imagination. Day is painting pictures featuring old Who monsters, which she shouldn't know about. And there's also this older woman who's very spunky. Monsters come out of the pictures. She calls it dark magic. The doctor accidentally kicked this all off with an artifact from an old TARDIS and some technobabble she has for some reason. He saves the day when she paints him into a picture, and the simulacrum of the doctor comes out and knows how to fix the problem. The doctor finds a scrap of paper in a book. He was there to pick up his old copy of Jane Eyre. Apparently he had a shed somewhere that he had just kind of forgotten about.
Right.
With writing from another doctor on it. So he and Day are off to track it down and also figure out her technobabble. The story moved along quickly, and the dialogue and art were both decent. Just not sure if I want to keep 5 Doctor Who books in my pull.
I was thinking about this, and this would, of course, be probably one that you would think about dropping. Since a character was never really fully developed in the original media, the movie,
right,
and we haven't listened to those audiobooks, we really don't have a feel for this doctor and what his personality is and how he reacts to things.
They're kind of making it up as they go along because, as you said, they haven't established anything. And we don't have any real affinity for this doctor, unlike the ones we've seen in all the various TV episodes.
Although we did watch this movie when it came out originally.
Did. Yeah.
And the other thing about this book is it doesn't have that cute little extra Doctor Who story at the end, which I always enjoy in the other Doctor Who books.
Miracle Man by Gaiman and Buckingham, number 4 from Marvel by Gaiman, Buckingham, Disraeli, and Klein. The reprints of Neil Gaiman's run from the 90s continue, and I keep wondering when we're going to get into the new stories they kept promising us.
I don't think there will ever be new stories.
I'm wondering if that's ever going to happen. This run is all about how the human race reacts after the Battle of London and Miracle Man basically becoming a god. We meet this family with an unfaithful husband, a wife who was inseminated by Miracle Man. It was very...
Well, apparently they sent out sperm just to anybody who wanted it.
Right.
If they couldn't have kids for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very bureaucratic. There's a stepchild and a star child, which is, I don't know what else you call these beings, a daughter named Mist. And there's a new holiday called Winter's Day, named for Miracle Man's direct star child, where the kids get to do grown-up jobs for a day, which seems very unsafe.
Sort of like a very advanced take-your-daughter-to-work day.
Yeah. Mist is back from her travels, but she's still a small child, but also a star child. The kids want a story before they go to bed, and then most of the issue is The Winter's Tale, all about Winter's travel to see the Quiz, who are the alien race that basically helped to generate Miracle Man. The whole thing is clearly a takeoff of Little Nemo's Adventures in Slumberland, considered to be the first comic strip, which is going back to like the late 19th century. The kids keep interrupting throughout. Miss tells her mother that her stepdad is still being unfaithful because the star children can...
They pretty much
know everything.
They're omniscient, sort of.
We also get another indecipherable 2-page retrieval chapter. Still have no clue what's going on there.
Yeah.
There's no dialogue. It just seems to be a progression of the same image at different sizes. It's like, okay, maybe this will eventually become something. I don't know. The artwork is fantastic, and the story is classic Gaiman, but the filler material, which is almost half the issue, which are original pencils and inks, continues, and how they can justify charging $4.99 for what is about a maybe 20-page story.
Yeah, I'm sure it's interesting to a certain segment, but just somebody who wants to read the comic wouldn't necessarily want that.
Right. Well, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pushing the button.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
Yes.
A man?
Yes.
A man over 50?
No.
Over 40?
No.
Over 30?
Yes.
Okay. And so he's the star of a upcoming movie?
Yes.
Is the movie genre related?
Yes.
Okay. Is it supernatural?
Yes.
Okay. Supernatural, upcoming movie. He's the star of it. Is it something coming up like this year?
No.
Okay, so sometime next year.
Yes.
And super. Is it based on young adult book or something?
Yes.
Of course. Not that that helps me. Let's see. And he's around, so he's between 30 and 40. Is he a known actor for other roles?
Yes.
Are those other roles tend to be drama?
Yes.
Okay. Drama. Is he like an Academy Award winning actor?
Yes.
Oh, geez. All these yeses is not helping me to narrow it down at all. The no's help more. Let's see. Academy Award winning actor in his 30s. Doing a genre supernatural movie. Okay, well, the supernatural, is it like zombies?
No.
Is it like vampires?
No.
Is it werewolves?
No.
Is it Frankenstein?
I'm going to change my answer because it probably is all of those things related to the main genre.
The main genre. So it's a monster movie.
Sort of.
Sort of a monster movie. Is it something I would know?
I am not sure.
And I'm out of time.
And there's your beep. Are you aware that there's a new Harry Potter movie coming out?
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know there was a movie.
Fantastic,
I knew there was a book.
Fantastic Beasts and How to Find Them.
Okay.
And it stars Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, okay.
So... I didn't know if you'd heard of that. I didn't know if you would get around to it any other way, but I didn't help you much there.
Yeah, well, oh well. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737, that's 614-321-9SFP, and leave us a message.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.